The slippery slope of telling women again, or is it still, what to do, how to dress, and how to behave is something we should all be concerned about. With the resurgence of misguided, misogynistic power and the state of the world as it seems to be, many feel a loss of control. And in response, some aim to exert control over others so they feel more powerful and in charge. I was about to go off based on many of the headlines of late and blame Cannes for trying to control women. The media claims that the Cannes Festival had issued a new dress code forbidding voluminous outfits and nudity. This concerned me, so I immediately checked their FAQs regarding the dress code. Honestly, my thought was, have these even changed, or are they just enforcing them? I can't say, as I've never had to confirm the dress code for my attendance. No naked dressing? How will stars make news? This New York Times headline is essentially telling women to take it off to get press. If that's how you roll, man, fucking work it. If not, New York Times, you're gross. Another media outlet claims it's erasing artistic opportunity, particularly for women attendees. Well, I work in fashion. I live and breathe it, even in my yoga pants. I've always loved pushing boundaries and edginess. But should that mean that nipples and bush peeking through sheer fabric is acceptable? Let's face it, having a dress code for an event is not abnormal, and Cannes is considered black tie. I feel like we'd have a completely different conversation if this was restrictions over how to dress for Fashion Week. Many of us are guilty of seeing a headline and blowing a gasket, directing our anger at the person, event, or situation the media discusses, rather than at the true culprit, the media themselves. It's unfortunate that we have reached new heights in media manipulation. On top of our go-to reliable news sources, which seems to be very limited these days, we also receive unchecked information from influencers who have been dubbed the new media, which, much like the stereotype of new money, exudes a tackiness. With influencers, we see how integrity in journalism has gone out the window. I mean, what's integrity? Apparently, who the fuck cares? As long as your story is believable and you're a cutie girly delivering it, why fact check? That's so old school. I have read posts encouraging us to do our own research, and while discussing the latest red lip shade and how shea butter works may not be earth-shattering, doing your own research without the understanding it takes to be a researcher isn't really effective. Research takes skill to distinguish facts from fiction and opinion. This is why we need to seek out true professionals who know their subject or craft, rather than relying on headlines that are merely hooks, lines, and clickbait. They don't encapsulate factual information. Taking the time to engage in critical thinking and strip away the wool over our eyes to see and understand the facts is not something everyone can do. So how do we decipher fact from fiction? Honestly, that is quite challenging. This even affects my profession. Who will you listen to? Someone with a well-developed portfolio and extensive breadth of knowledge, or a bubbly talking head with thousands of likes and views? Unfortunately, most will likely choose the bubbly babble, who is often not accurate or a trusted source. That is commercial media at its finest manipulation. So who can we trust for information? In beauty, it used to be professionals like myself and beauty editors, old school beauty pros, who would receive press kits from brands with detailed information about the active ingredients, skin types, hair types, skin tones, explaining who would benefit from the products being touted. Instead, we're bombarded with headlines like, the most common makeup mistakes made by women over 50. And if you're over 50, this is why you're doing your eyebrows all wrong. Over 50, and this is what you're doing wrong with your hair. Over 50, let us show you how to battle that menopausal bulge and how to dress appropriately after 50. And yes, I'm sorry to say, these are actual headlines. Like, oh my God, seriously, shut the fuck up. You're good, girl. You're doing all right. According to a Vivienne Westwood quote, when in doubt, overdress. Absolutely. Unless you're at Cannes, where apparently it's films out, nips out. I hope you've enjoyed my passionate perspective on media manipulation, societal pressures, and the complexities surrounding dress codes and women's representation. Oh, and in case you're wondering, this is not a fact or a fiction piece, it's purely opinion.
Welcome to the Fuck You 50s, the podcast for women who refuse to tolerate the bullshit anymore. This is real talk, real stories, and a long overdue reality check. I'm your host, Andrea Clare, and this podcast is the filter-free voice you've been waiting for, with a dose of F-bombs. The Fuck You 50s, unfiltered, unapologetic, and undeniably needed.
My guest today, yes, two guests, it's a twofer, Michelle Stanton, entrepreneur, customer service enthusiast, and a woman who decided that women deserve honest conversations about perimenopause. Her journey started with Your Girl Friday, a corporate concierge business that she built from scratch to serve over 500 clients weekly. Making people's lives easier has always been her superpower. After years in marketing and communications across virtually every sector imaginable, life threw her a curveball. Fucking perimenopause. Being blindsided and with a shockingly lack of information and support practically non-existent, she began commiserating with her bestie, Mikkel Etier. They decided to do something about this. Together, they have created a community and resource hub that they desperately wished they had when they started this journey. A place where straightforward information meets practical advice meets laughter. A place where we can all feel seen, heard, and empowered. This time of life isn't just about hot flashes and irregular periods. It's about all the stuff we face during this stage of life. Navigating work, family, burnout, and everything else that life throws at us. Because it's impossible to tell where perimenopause ends and everyday life begins. They used to think menopause signaled the end. Really, it's just the beginning. And where is this promised land? Find them on their podcast. This is Perimenopause. But for now, find them on mine. Michelle and Mikkel, welcome to the Fuck You 50s.
Yeah, so right now, one of the things I'm trying to do is prioritize doing things with my friends that I enjoy.
So I went
out to a bar to listen to music, have dinner with a girlfriend on Friday night.
Nice.
Yeah.
I was just bemoaning the fact that this cold went sideways again and I spent the weekend like in bed basically after Friday night.
But
at least I sound very sexy.
Yeah, you do.
Sound sexy. I'm jealous.
So, welcome, guys.
Thanks.
Well, it's been so long since I saw
Thank you, Andrea. I know. It feels like it's been forever.
At least 3-4 days.
How was the weekend?
It was good. Yeah. My daughter's birthday was yesterday, so my youngest. So I made her – she requested a cake. So that's what I did. We ordered McDonald's for breakfast, as one does. And then I baked a cake. Then I went to my Second City improv class. Then we had dim sum. Very exciting. How about you guys?
I had a very low-key weekend.
Yeah, same. I spent it trying not to be sick.
No, but I have to agree. I do like the voice. The voice is great. So guys, let's get into the nitty-gritty. I love your podcast, and maybe you guys can kind of introduce yourselves and just do a little quick little breakdown on what your podcast is about.
The podcast wasn't actually where we first started. It was summer of 2020. We were commiserating with our third co-founder, who's a silent co-founder. She was not symptomatic, but Michelle and I were really symptomatic. And we had finally figured out it was perimenopause, and we were complaining bitterly about the fact that there were no resources. We couldn't find anyone to help us, and on and on and on. And our third co-founder, who has a very successful career launching and running online companies, said, well, we can do something about that. So we decided we would try to do something and to contribute in some way. We got into an incubator in Waterloo, Ontario, and we were going to build technology, because that's what you do now. If there's a problem, you build technology to fix it. And a couple of months in with this incubator, two of our core mentors who have been instrumental in where we are today booked a meeting with us, which we assumed we were in trouble, because that would be on point. And we weren't. They said, you know, your value proposition is bang. We'd been doing some testing with them. And they said, we don't think you should build any technology. We think you should build a following. So that's what we've been doing. That's what we did. And that's what we've been doing. So we started with a website and blogging and a newsletter. And Amy pushed us, frankly, to get uncomfortable and start a podcast. And we did. And that's actually, I would say now, our favorite part of everything is the podcast part. So thanks again, Amy.
What was your technology going to be? Were you guys looking at an app?
Yeah. You know, something to build that app so that, you know, you could get recommendations and how to talk to your doctor all those things. Yeah.
The tricky bit with neither of us being doctors or medical experts or dietitians or, you know, anything with credentials behind it, it kind of made our offering a little bit weak. And we just, you know, instead we decided, hey, why don't we talk to these people and ask them? And, you know, I think that's kind of the magic of our podcast is that we're bringing all this really great science-based information to women that need it, but in a way that's really relatable and on their level. And we're learning with our listeners. Every time we have a guest on our podcast, Mikkel and I are genuinely learning as well. So it's pretty fun. I love it. And we get to meet wonderful people like you.
Yeah. Thank you. I was listening to your podcast today, actually. Like, I think it's the latest one with Kirsten. Yeah. There was a lot of things that I kind of were kind of relatable. I think probably for everybody, but for me, like just things that she was saying. And I feel that it's hard for us to find information. And like you say, like science-based information. And how do you choose your guests to be on there? Like, how do you, like, is there anybody that have reached out to you that you kind of decline politely, or is there?
Yeah, we have. And we are committed to evidence-based, science-based information. And we've had the benefit of partnering with some very skilled practitioners who are evidence-based and have a strong clinical background where they've been doing this, practicing and helping women in perimenopause for a long time. And so they understand the nuance of, you know, helping women thrive during this time and not just survive. There's a lot of misinformation out there, sometimes disinformation. And there's also this, you know, we all want that quick fix. And I think if there's anything we've really learned in this process is it's no quick fix, right? And if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. And
it's tricky because right now there's this whole meno washing kind of thing happening, and everyone's putting menopause on their packaging. And in some cases, it's valid. In some cases, they're just really good marketers and they're preying on women at our vulnerable part. We're trying our best to balance and to bring different perspectives because not everyone has the same path and not everyone has the same outlook on their health.
Yeah. You know, the other thing that I find very interesting just with the whole like menopause and perimenopause kind of movement now, I mean, it's great. I mean, obviously we need to talk about it, right? I find it interesting. Like for me, I haven't had a lot of the symptoms.
God bless you.
Yeah. And I always say, and this is definitely not me bragging. It's definitely not a brag.
Sounds all. Like it, Andrea.
I apologize.
Fuck you, Andrea.
Small hair flip.
Yeah, whatever.
You're like, oh, what? Suddenly, like,
I gotta go. I gotta go. Yeah, yeah.
Now, I have to say, so my gynecologist in Singapore had an IUD put in, like the Mirena, right? Mm-hmm. And I mean, and that's possible that I could have developed a lot of symptoms, but she said people your age, I generally suggest the Mirena and it'll kind of carry you through menopause seamlessly, right? So I had one doctor put one in, and then I basically just started like bleeding like crazy like right away. Long story short, I ended up fine. I went to a couple different gynecologists, get to another one who basically did an ultrasound and said, well, the first person that put it in
put it too close to your fallopian tube. So it's causing irritation. Oh. I literally was bleeding for like 8 months.
Oh my God.
I was even like, take this out of me. Yeah. This is driving me crazy. And they were like, oh, like this is probably just your new normal. And you know,
well, this is not what the normal I want. Yeah. Fuck off.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Anyway. So then I finally go to somebody else who, you know, she's like, I could see it. Like she didn't have the ultrasound going for like not even a minute. She's like, well, there's a problem. It's rubbing against your fallopian tube. And so she took it out and put another one in, and I've never had any issues. And then it's funny because I've never had a hot flash. I've been asked like, oh, like I've had, cause I'm, you know, I'm a hairstylist, right? So I've had clients that have said like, oh, what do you do when you have a hot flash? And I'm like, I'm sorry, I haven't had, like, I almost feel like I have to apologize all the time. Like, I'm sorry, but I definitely have like other things. And, you know, I was thinking about it today when I was listening to your podcast earlier, and I don't know if you guys do this already. So pardon me if you do, but I thought on your blog, it would be great if you had just like a checklist, because there's so many, I'm sure you guys must know more than I do for sure, but there's so many symptoms out there. And like, how do you feel through what's a normal symptom and what is not?
Well, we do have a checklist. We'll send you some info.
That okay. You're like, thanks, Andrea. We got them already.
We got it. We got you. But I think what's important too is it's a balancing act, all of this, because yes, there are a myriad of symptoms that can be caused by what's really going on in perimenopause is the fluctuation, which is in large part responsible for a lot of these symptoms and the chaos. However, it's also important not to just dismiss everything as perimenopause, right? So, you know, maybe you're having heart palpitations, which is a legitimate perimenopausal symptom, but just because we're saying it or Oprah's saying it, go and see your doctor and get that checked. But yes, we do have a checklist, because that's the other thing. When you don't know, you know, I think you talk to anybody and you say, okay, name a symptom, right? They would say hot flashes and night sweats, irregular periods. After that, you know, there were a lot of things that happened to me and that happened to Michelle that neither of us had any clue.
Did you guys have similar symptoms?
Some were similar and some were no different. Like everyone's path is so different, right? Like I had a lot of rage. Like for me, it was a lot of emotional symptoms. I also had, the overnight weight gain when I changed nothing else. You know, now I know that there's much more to that. But yeah, I feel like for me, my biggest, most foul symptom was the rage. And I don't know that Mikkel had that. I still have it. My gosh.
I don't have broken appliances in my house.
I do.
Sorry, Michelle, you broke an appliance?
Like I slam doors a lot. And so like the fridge door, the dryer, like, yeah, there's broken things that are being held together with duct tape.
So basically you're just kind of regressing to your teenage self.
Yeah. Well, no, not even teenage. Like I'm talking like 3-year-old. I'm back there, but I'm stronger. And yet I can't pull myself back in. Like while it's happening, Andrea, yeah, I'm raging and I'm like, stop, like settle down, lady. You're like, this is not a valid response to what's going on. And yet I can't rein it in. Like there's no, it's bizarre. It's crazy.
So what's recommended? Like, did you talk to your menopause doctor or like a therapist or somebody about it? Like, what do they recommend that you do with that?
For me, like I've gone through a lot of different things. It's funny. My husband was just on a fishing trip and he came back and he's like, oh, Ted and I were talking about menopause. And I was like, oh my God. And he's like, and I was telling him how, since you've been on HT, how you're so much more level again, and you're just kind of calm and you're like, you don't have these wild mood changes. So I feel like that was a great solution to support me.
And I think that's the biggest thing for your listeners. I think if we can share like rage, irritability, anxiety, depression, women in perimenopause are very susceptible to this. And that what's really scary is if someone had a mental health challenge previously and they were successful in managing and treating it, maybe they were on medication, it can come back and it can come back with a vengeance. And yeah, even women who have never had any kind of challenge in that realm, it can show up. And it is weird. It is out of nowhere. It is hard to explain. And what's terrifying about this is often the things that normally would work for depression or anxiety often don't work.
Yeah, we both had the depression thing, and neither of us are that kind of person. Like, we're generally pretty upbeat and, you know, sunny side of the street, and it just rocks you. And you, again, it's really confusing.
Was it a slow build, or was it like a sudden overnight?
I feel like that's the biggest misconception or difficulty with perimenopause is it kind of just like slowly builds. It sneaks in. There's a little bit here, a little bit there, and then it's gone. And then your hormones have leveled out again, and like, or you know, your estrogen has peaked again or whatever it is, and you feel normal. So then you're like, oh no, that was just a blip. And sometimes, I mean, those are the core, like sleep, stress, nutrition, movement. Like, those are really important. They're kind of the pillars for our health, right? Like, so you could be on HT, and if you're not trying to manage your sleep, and if you're not eating healthy, and you're eating McDonald's and packaged food every day, like,
sorry, were you just slagging my McDonald's?
No, that was Mother's Day/birthday breakfast. I mean, I had mimosas yesterday morning, so like, no judgment here, babe. Frozen mimosa, you got to try it. So okay. Good.
I'll take that recipe.
Yeah, yeah. Ooh. So no judgment. But I'm just like, if you don't have those pillars set up properly, if you're not working on, you know, just your basic health stuff, then HT isn't going to help. Like, nothing's going to help.
No, and it's a combination of things. But I think the challenge is, as well, a lot of us are going to our doctors and getting dismissed and not getting that, right? And if you look at, that's the other complicated piece, right? We don't have enough research. It's getting better. There's a lot of nuance to the care that is required in this phase of life.
I find, too, that it's also, there's so many experts out there, so many, like in social media, we have so many influencers, which I personally, for my industry, I find to be a pain in the ass because they don't really know what they're talking about. I could just imagine even like in your sphere of like being, you know, having the perimenopause podcast, and just, you know, you guys are sourcing out like experts and getting the right information, but there's influencers that are just jumping up.
Andrea and all of your listeners, do not take your medical advice from TikTok. Like, it's great. Meno Talk is great to get awareness, to build awareness. We need to be having these conversations, and people need to be more aware, because for a lot of people, it starts in their 30s and people aren't aware of that, right? So they're blindsided by it. They're confused, and they don't need to be. But it's not like a 30-second video is not going to give you the medical support you need to get through any of this stuff.
I find so like it's so overwhelming, like all the information that you see, that kind of, and like you say, like meno washing is such a great word too, because we even get it in like the beauty industry, you know, just like, you know, it's talking about what it's going to fix aesthetically, and they're just using it as like a target market to sell. So it's kind of like, how do you filter through all that? Like, what's real and what is just them trying to sell to you, right? And I guess like I follow Dr. Jen Gunter. I don't know if you guys do as well, but I love a lot of her advice that she gives, and also just by saying like, don't follow this person because all they're doing is selling you like bottles of pills, and you know, it's,
yep, absolutely.
And she does some great work, and we have a newsletter coming up shortly that includes her, one of her resources. In terms of how do you figure out what's what, there's some basic tenets you can just keep in mind every time, you know, is this person trying to sell me something? Is it something that they've created that they're trying to sell, right? Follow the money. Where is that? What are their credentials? What are they? And really the bottom line is, if it sounds too good to be true, it absolutely is. There is no one thing. There is no one thing, including menopausal hormone therapy, that is going to be the magic bullet. Everybody in this phase of life requires a toolkit, yeah, and needs to understand what is out there and what might be a good solution for them. And that's really, at the end of the day, what we're trying to do is to arm people with the information they need for their unique journey. And we also fundamentally believe that we're woefully behind in terms of women's health, research, money, appropriate care, all of those things. And if we can get as many of us as possible advocating for better with sound information and sound resources, we will be a lot harder to ignore.
For sure. There's an article last updated May 10th. So why doctors and researchers say Canada needs to change course of women's health studies. It just talks about like the research and women's chronic pain and just how we've kind of been kind of brushed aside and maybe not necessarily part of like focus groups or trials.
Well, women weren't actually included in clinical trials. It was actually the National Institute of Health in the U.S. actually mandated in 1993 that women should be part of clinical trials.
And even like medicine, like the dosing for medicine is based on these trials with men. Like we're not little men. So they don't fully understand. I'm making a big sweeping statement here, but yeah, it needs to change. We need to be part of this research because we need to know better how this impacts us, how everything impacts us.
Yeah. And we're also different too, right?
Well, and again, that's kind of what we're trying to do here is give women all this information and the tools and the team and the understanding of what's going on so that they can go and advocate for themselves because no one is coming to save you. No one is going to hold your hand through perimenopause. We're really, and whether or not it's because our healthcare system is broken is a whole other thing, but no one's helping us. And so we're trying to give women the information so they can go to their doctors and know how to speak to their doctors and know how to ask for what it is they need. We really do need to become our own health advocates.
It's true. I don't know how you guys feel about male doctors, but I kind of like, just from my own personal experience, I no longer want to see any male doctors. So unless I absolutely have to, and one of my more recent experiences, so just, I guess, before Christmas time. So I have high blood pressure and I don't know why. Okay. Aside from that, I had McDonald's like that one time, Michelle. Oh my God.
It was just front of mind. Oh my God.
I know. I'm just kidding. So I see a doctor, my blood pressure is still high. They want to put me on blood pressure medication. I say, sure, fine. They want to send me to a hypertension specialist. I say to my GP, I only want to see female doctors. But I have been doing some reading that high blood pressure could be part of menopause, right? So I get to this hypertension specialist and it turns out to be a man. So I was a bit surprised because I specifically said I wanted to see a female doctor. But I'm kind of like, I'm not going to like walk out the door, right? So I said, it was not a great experience at all. He was condescending. He was a complete asshole. Mm. When we were talking about it, he wanted to add on two more medications. And I said, well, I don't really want to be on three medications. I'd like to understand why do I have high blood pressure? And then I said, I've been reading, like doing some research and reading Dr. Jen Gunter's book. And I said, it seems like that could also be something to do with like perimenopause, menopause. So is my high blood pressure possibly because of that? And he's a hypertension specialist, says to me, well, I know nothing about menopause in women, but I can tell you that if you don't go on these medications, you're going to have a heart attack or a stroke within 10 years. That was my experience.
Wow. I'm sorry that happened.
And, you know, even we had a fabulous doctor on our podcast. It's coming out shortly. And she was saying that even within the medical field, there's cardiologists there that don't believe in. Mikhail, do you remember this conversation where she said, like, I might say, yeah, you should use HT. And then they go to the cardiologist and they're like, oh, no, you're not a candidate for that. And you shouldn't be using that. And there's a lot of contradictory information. I think there's just, they don't know, right? It's not actually their fault. They haven't been taught it in school. You know, so to get the menopause information, they have to sign up to the Menopause Foundation. They have to sign up to the Diabetes Foundation. They have to sign up to the, you know, like, it's not like it's, I'm not making excuses for them, but I also, it's a lot.
It's a big concerted effort for a medical provider to learn what they need to about perimenopause, menopause. And it's, to your point, Michelle, it's still not part of the curriculum in medical school for any practitioner, even OBGYNs. And it's hard to find a doctor, period, hard to get into a specialist. And so to find someone who actually also has the ability to incorporate, you know, this whole menopause piece into their practice is challenging.
And then I go back to our healthcare system is broken. And I think like this is a big, your example, like they want to put you in a box and they want to put you on a pill. And that's what they know how to do. Like there's no preventative healthcare in Canada is not there yet.
Well, and I even said to him, I said, like, I'm all for the science, you know, I've had 8 COVID vaccines.
Give me more.
You know, like hook me up, whatever science is out there, I'll take it. So like, if I need to take the medication, I'm definitely not against it, but I would like to understand a bit more why.
Absolutely.
So I ended up, I have a Facebook page, so I ranted about it on my Facebook page. And one of my old clients from Singapore, who's based in Australia, she sent me a link to the Menopause Society of Canada. Very sweet of her to do that. And she said, you should look for a menopause doctor and talk to them. So I found somebody on that list and I've been seeing her. Yeah, it's great. But she had said to me, so just for people that might be listening and maybe kind of relate to my story, she was saying that yes, you can get high blood pressure that can be part of perimenopause, menopause. And yes, once you're kind of through to the other side, your blood pressure can regulate, but it can take, it's not always the case though. She wanted to stress that, but she said, going through menopause or perimenopause to menopause can take 10 years. Right. So she said, you don't want to not be on the medication because if you have high blood pressure, that can, I'm not a doctor, so I don't know, understand all the terminology, but I guess it can affect all of your, it can affect your heart, it can affect your arteries, whatever.
It's not good for you.
It's not good for you. Thank you. To summarize, it's not good for you. So she said, stay on the medication. And then once you get through to menopause, then they can, I guess, do more tests and see, and then it's possible you end up going off of the medication. But she said, in that meantime, you don't want to have all that stress on your body because, like Mikhail said, it's not good for you.
Yeah, it's bad. It's bad. Oh, that's good. Sounds like you've got some good help, though.
Yeah. You know what? I have to say that, like, I honestly never thought about getting a menopause specialist. And it makes all the sense in the world, actually.
Absolutely. Yeah. And there's so many great practitioners on that list. It's great. And it's such a great tool. We'll have to link to that in the show notes.
Yeah. Great. Is there any kind of common denominator that you guys have found that everybody should kind of consider? I mean, I know like sleep seems to be something for an example, but is there anything else like for women that may be symptomatic or not?
Yeah. So what I think what everybody needs to understand, whether or not you have symptoms, is that your risk for disease increases as you approach menopause and once you hit menopause. So your cardiovascular disease increases, your risk for dementia increases, your risk of osteoporosis, right? And so there are all of these things that become pretty significant. And so it's not just about mitigating symptoms. It's about protecting your health and increasing your health span, right? We do live longer as women, but we often live those years in very poor health relative to men so far. So we all need to work to change that. And as Michelle said earlier, there are some key pillars. So sleep and Jesus Christ. When I was 42, and that was my first symptom, and it was awful. Awful, awful, awful. I was waking up at 2 a.m, could not, and like I'd been plugged into an electrical socket. There was nothing going on and I wasn't sleeping and I was losing my mind and no one could help me. And if I'd even just known that my hormones were responsible, that would have been a game changer because I, of course, blamed myself, thought I just couldn't handle the stress of the life that I had built. So sleep is a big pillar. That's a big piece of it. You need to fuel your body to feel good and to feel better and to promote your health, right? Let's think of strong, not skinny. Stop this depriving yourself. Movement, you've got to exercise. That doesn't mean you've got to be a rock star in the gym every day. It means you've got to be walking. It right. does mean you need to incorporate some strength training into your regular routine, and you've got to start building those happy, healthy habits. and managing your stress, right? So there's a lot of work that needs to be done, right, emotionally as well, in order for us to thrive in this next phase, which frankly, so far, the best phase.
Well, I feel like with our age and, you know, I feel like talking to other people that, you know, like, you know, older than I am, they do talk about, which is like perfect for my title of my podcast. Like, it's kind of like, fuck you. Like, it's like the fuck you 50s. It's like, we're just owning it and doing our thing. And maybe being Gen Xers, it's also kind of pushing it, because I don't think we put up with shit when we were younger. And so we're not going to put up with shit now either. So it's nice that we're in that, you know, we're paving the way for future generations to like stop putting up with shit, hopefully.
I love it. That's what I love about this podcast that you've got. Like, it's so empowering. All the women you've had on, all of your guests have been, I don't know, just I feel, I every time I listen, I walk away feeling a little bit more powerful. It's awesome. Yeah, it's great.
Thank you. Do you guys have any, like for your podcast, do you have anybody that you're hoping to get on, or a future guest that you've already recorded with that you're excited about?
Ryan Reynolds. Sorry, that's a joke.
Have on, or?
There's a little joke here. We want him to be in a social media campaign for us. So every time someone asks a question like that, I'm like, hey, Ryan, putting it out there into the universe. Ryan, one day. I think one of the topics we haven't really covered yet, we've got, but we're going to very soon, we've got a sex expert coming on, because there's a lot, you know, it's not just like the GSM symptoms that make sex painful and uncomfortable. It's also low libido. Like, there's layers of psychological stuff going on. And so I think that's going to be a really fun conversation that we haven't had yet.
Yeah.
I think every year, and Mikkel, I won't drop any names, but I feel like we're just about to finish season two. And so I feel like we're gaining the following and the confidence to go after some bigger name people. So I think that there's going to be a lot more exciting guests on season three.
Amazing. How do you guys determine your seasons?
We started in September and we go for a year.
We drop every 2 weeks year round.
And we still have a newsletter every week, and, you know, we're still doing, there'll still be stuff like that happening where social media, all of those great things will still be going on a regular. It's just that we don't have that, you know, trying to get people's attention in the summer is busy. And so just getting ahead and not having to worry about that. And then I think probably usually around the end of August, mid August, we start recording again for season, just to give Amy a little bit of time. So she's not in a mad scramble. Yeah,
that's good. I haven't actually thought about Amy, so sorry, Amy.
Fuck you, Amy. I love the name of your podcast. I love that I can drop the F-bomb all the time. It's my favorite word in the world.
My other favorite word is a C word, but I guess that, you know, people in North America don't love that word so much.
Oh,
but,
that's a big one. Although we do close most of our newsletters with "see you next Tuesday" or "see you next Thursday," kind of like Rick. But Rick Mercer used to do, but we spell it out "see you next." So only the Canadians that used to watch his rants get to know what that means.
So speaking about like social media and like your newsletter and everything. So where can everybody find you? Because I don't even think we've actually mentioned the name of your podcast. So go, what's the name of your podcast?
It's called This is Perimenopause. And you can find us on all the streaming services. So wherever you get your favorites, you can find us. We also have a page on our website with all of our podcasts if you want to go there and check it out. You can sign up for our newsletter on our website. And the website is thisisperimenopause.com. And social media, you can also find us there, Instagram and Facebook, same handle, This is Perimenopause.
Excellent. And then what happens when you're onto menopause? Are you going to kind of go to This is Menopause?
I don't know. I'm 50 days away. Today is 50 days. So July 1st, Canada Day, will also be menopause day for me.
So those fireworks are actually potentially for Michelle.
For you. Okay. All for me, Andrea. You can think of me that day.
Excellent. I wonder, just for myself, because I feel like I've only heard the term perimenopause like more recently, like over the past couple of years. I don't feel like I've heard the term before, but the term must have existed.
It only actually, I think, came into our nomenclature in 1996. It's relatively new. And it's not well understood, right? And it is now, it used to be, you know, people would say, oh, it's a couple of years before menopause. And now it can be 10 years. And I would argue it probably is for a lot of people. It's just that you didn't realize what was happening at the outset, right?
How do you think that other women can, I mean, aside from, you know, your voice and what you guys are doing, just like your friend group or whatever, how do you feel that other women can help support each other while they're going through this transition of life?
I think the best thing we can do is be open about what we're going through, right? And I think we have a tendency to suck it up with everybody or to not, you know, maybe share, I don't know about you, Michelle, but, you know, actually being open and honest about, especially the mental health symptoms in particular. I think everything is, when it comes to our health, we is stigmatized, right? But being open and honest about what you're feeling, I think, is huge, not just for your own benefit, but it invites somebody else to come in and say, oh, yeah, you, me too.
Well, especially with social media, everything's so rosy and the, you know, picture perfect and oh my God, isn't this great? Like, no, my fucking life sucks a lot of time and there's a lot of really hard days and there's like, let's just be honest with each other and stop filtering our lives. And yeah, I think those conversations, I think being open is a great step. Mikhail, good answer.
Yeah.
Again, like we said earlier, no one's coming to save you. You need to do this for yourself and get educated and take some time to invest in yourself and go to your menopause society of whatever country you're in and find a practitioner that can help you.
Yeah, that's a good point too. Definitely. Well, this has been such a like fantastic conversation. I feel like we could kind of keep talking forever. Is there anything else that you guys want to kind of like leave listeners with?
So what I would say is the one thing I want everyone to know is you're not alone and you're not crazy. And perimenopause can be a really challenging time. It can be a breeze, but it can be really challenging. And you're not crazy. And so talk to your friends, talk to a practitioner, find some help, because really this can be a really exciting stage as well.
That's great. Mikhail?
What she said. Ditto.
We always say at the end of our, or part of our podcast, we say, we used to think menopause signaled the end, but really it's just the beginning.
It's true.
Beginning of our next chapter.
Yes. Amazing. And your next chapter is in 50 days.
50 fucking days.
What happens at day 49?
If I get a bleed on day 49, oh my God. No, you will know because you will hear a big scream echoing across the land.
You have to cancel your fireworks.
Can you imagine? Oh my goodness. I'm sure it happens.
But you know what's so funny? I know I was like wrapping this up and then I keep talking, but you know, whatever. The one thing that I've noticed so lately, just to, you know, overshare, is that being on the Mirena, my period has gotten a lot lighter the past few months. So that's been a change. But then I also noticed my skin. Like I haven't had Botox in over a year. And I kind of felt like getting Botox, I felt like I was starting to think it made me look older. But then lately I feel that maybe the collagen has dropped a lot more. Like I notice that I have more wrinkles and I'm getting more of like the, you know, the jowls.
Oh, we know that.
I do this a lot with my husband. I hold my face up like this and I say to him, this looks better, right? And he always tells me to shut the fuck up.
We need the scotch tape. Well, you're gorgeous as it is. Can we please do an episode of our hot tips with you about something to do with collagen or something? But can we both have our face, like all of us have our faces taped with the scotch tape?
Yes. Well, there is face tape.
Oh no, I don't even know about this.
Yeah, so there's a few different things. Like there's Hollywood tricks where you kind of do like braids just back here a little bit on either side.
Oh, look at that.
It's like when recently I think it was Anne Hathaway was she was at an award show or something. Yeah, right? She was at an award show, and then people were saying what surgery she had done. And so many hair and makeup artists that I know were commenting saying, she just has a snatched ponytail. Because that's the other thing, too. If you're going out somewhere and you're just feeling like you just do a tighter ponytail.
Shut up. Thank you.
Now I'm going to have to grow my hair.
But there is a face tape as well. So then, and then you just put it here, and then it has like an elastic band that goes underneath your hair, connects on the other side.
Oh my God. We totally have to do something with this because that would be so much fun.
Okay, for sure.
Done.
Anyway, so that's a good note to leave on, just how we can tape and snatch our faces.
I love it.
I know it's supposed to be a positive, like, you know, positive aging conversation.
We can have a little fun with it too. I think it's hysterical. We're not saying we need it.
Yes, exactly. Well, that's the thing too. Like sometimes it's like, it doesn't necessarily need to be like a need or society pressure. Sometimes it's just things we want to do. Right. So that's the thing. Like I always say, like, do whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah.
Like, who cares? It's up to what you want. What makes you happy?
I love that.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate your time.
Thanks for having us.
Mikkel, feel better.
I feel much better after this.
So much fun.
Yeah, so much fun. Definitely.
Thanks for tuning in to the Fuck You 50s. If you enjoyed this episode, please take a moment to follow and rate the podcast. And we'd love to connect with you on Instagram. So be sure to follow us at the Fuck You 50s. The Fuck You 50s is hosted by Andrea Clare and edited and produced by Bespoke Productions Hub. See you next time.